Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we get into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds so that we, Father, can receive this word with greater understanding as it is given to us by the mighty Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you always for what you've done for us, and we praise you and thank you for bringing us safe through the night and back in to the study of your word this morning. We're asking you now to be with us. Stay with us now, Father, throughout this study, giving us what you want each of us to receive and have. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be this morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Give you a minute to get there. Told you we was going to come out of the Old Testament today and tomorrow. All right. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this first verse, he's talking about the Word. Well, what is it? What is the meaning of that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's actually talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, that's letting us know that he was there in the very beginning, because he's the one that was used to form all things. 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was made by him. 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That light, in John's writing, life represents salvation, deliverance through Christ, and light denotes Jesus' revelation of God, which calls man to accountability. Now here in 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Well, we're talking about John the Baptist here in verse 6. 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This light he's talking about here is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that all men are to believe in him and through him. That's where our faith should lie, is with him. Now, 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now there in 8, he's talking about John. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of it. We know he's what has always been called the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he came to help make mankind believe in Jesus, and to even make a pathway to it. Now 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the light that lighteth every man means that God's revelation is universally available. It does not signify universal salvation. All right. 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now we know that the world did not acknowledge him. They mocked him, made fun of him, and ended up crucifying him to get rid of him. Now, 11. He came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. We know they didn't, because they are the ones, really, that had him crucified. They didn't drive the nails. but they were the ones that would not accept anything else from Pharaoh except his death of crucifixion. Now, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his, talking about received him, emphasizes appropriating Jesus Christ, taking him as Savior. Power literally means authority, even to them that believe is expiratory of receive, to believe on his name is the same as taking him as Savior. Now, but in the book of Acts, we have been given the plan of salvation for you and I today. We're told exactly how and what to do in order for us to have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and to be saved, and how we begin our walk. 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But, you see, he was born by the will of God. We know that man had nothing to do with his birth. Man was not his father. Yes, he had an earthly mother, a young virgin. But the Holy Spirit is what put him in the womb of his virgin. God is his father. Now, 14. And the word was made flesh. See, there again, he's letting us know exactly when he's talking about the word here, who he is talking about. Well, Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, he made flesh indicates the incarnation of God the Son. The use of the flesh contradicts the Gnostic heresy that God could not be united with human flesh, which was seen as evil and dwelt among us. John uses the word for tabernacle, here translated dwelt. The Old Testament tabernacle was where God dwelt among the Jews in the wilderness. In this context, God is dwelling in the person of Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory, and perhaps John refers to the glory which appeared in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The expression signifies the visible manifestation of God. John later uses glory to refer to Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Now, John here bears witness of him. He cried, saying, "This was he of whom I speak, he that cometh after me." Pardon. "Is preferred before me, for he was before me." And we all know that. Yet, here on earth, John was born about 3 months ahead of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus was actually in the beginning, before creation either, and is the one that created all things. Now, 16. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Seventeen. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." This fullness here, the fullness looks back to verse 14, full of grace and truth. Grace for grace means grace heaped on grace. Grace is evident in the Old Testament, in Genesis, but not in the fullness now experienced in Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards sinners for their salvation. Now, we know that we live by grace as a child of God. You see, it's his love and his grace that gives us life throughout eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 18. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now, he's letting us know that no man has seen God. That is, no one has ever seen God in all of his essence, since God is spirit. Only begotten Son, some manuscripts read only begotten God, he has declared him. Although no one has seen God in all his essence, people have at least seen God in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. They are those that have seen parts of God. And I am thankful that I am one of them. You see, when I was sent home to die, sent home from the hospital to die within 2 days, I was put to bed couldn't even turn over by myself. I had to have somebody turn it. And when the angel of the Lord walked in and got me by the hand and left with me, and as we were leaving out, I was looking down on my body. And we walked through the valley. You see, I walked that valley of the shadow of death. And there was no fear in it. It was beautiful. Flowers and trees on both sides. But when we got to the end of it, and stopped in front of the chair, like we would picture a king sits in, and the figure appeared in that chair from the shoulders down. You see, I could not see the face. I come close, but if I had seen the face, I wouldn't have been here today. Because God's word does tell us that no man can look on the face of God and live. So I would not have been here today. Now, but I know it was him. Because, you see, Jesus went to speaking for me from behind me while I'm still looking at this figure in the chair. And when he finished speaking, this figure holding me turned with me. And we started away, and a voice from the throne spoke to me and told me, says, you have 1 year. There was no trip back through the valley, and immediately I was back in my body. And in a body completely healed. My wife standing there beside the bed holding a cup of coffee crying. And she seen me move. And she asked me, she said, honey, are you all right? Told her, I said, yes. And I was. I had no pain whatsoever. But I was a frightened young man. I had a wife, and at the time, I had 5 kids. And I had just been told I had a year. I took that year like man takes it. That in a year I'd be gone. I'd be back. That wasn't what the year was about. We'll get into that later. But anyway, at that time I was also called to the ministry. An hour and a half after being put to bed, couldn't even turn over, I was sitting in the living room talking to my mother and dad that my wife had called because her and my brother could not find no heartbeat or no pulse in me. That's while I was gone. Now, I am very fortunate that he's gave me a long life. 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. This is John. They're asking this question to him. And he's letting them know, he's not the Christ. And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. 22. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Now, he saith, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloosen. 28. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's John making that statement about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God was used for sacrifice in the Passover and the sin offered. Some suggest that this may allude to the scapegoat or to the suffering of servant. But you see, that's not what it was all about. He was to be Christ. Think about it. Born into this world, growing up, just like you and I, being tempted in all the ways we were tempted, yet he did not sin, because you see, he was to be a sacrifice, and to become a sacrifice, he could have no blemish. So he could not have sinned and been a sacrifice for you and I. Now, he says here in 30, this is he of whom I said, after he, me, cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. But you see, John's baptism was for repentance. they would go to John for baptism and repentance. See, Jesus changed so well. Now, 32, and John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And we're going to stop here for this morning right here. Maybe this evening we'll pick up here and finish up with this first chapter, which is 51 verses long. But we'll have to see what God has for us for this evening. But I hope and pray that I've stirred up some things in your memory and let you see things that is needed for you and I. Let us go to the Father now and pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close thy word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Father, as we get into our day today, I'm asking, Father, that you can put us all in good health and heal, Father, whatever is wrong with any that is part of this ministry or that is listening to this study this morning. Heal them, Father. Make them whole. And use them in great and mighty ways. Father, we all need some healing of some kind. There are those that need physical healing, and there are those, Father, that need some spiritual healing. Now, Father, I lay claim to that healing for them, and we're calling it done. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for Israel. Pray that they will have peace. But more than that, Father, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. For this land of ours, Father, turned us back, took the Lord out of every place he was in. Father, I pray that those that have done that be all removed from office and replaced with those that are serving you, that love you, love the Lord, love the church, love your people, and love this land. And work with us to help us to put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray to bring him back in every place he was taken out of, Father, and make him first in our lives and first with our government, so that this land, Father, can repent and turn back to him, putting everything back into his hands. We need a great revival, Father, and I'm praying for that. Now, Father, be with us all through this day, keeping us in health, keeping us safe, bringing us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. I pray that you all have a great, great day. Walk with the Lord God, and he'll walk with you. Put in your faith and your trust this day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great one. I pray to see you at 6.